New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell claims credit for boosting investment in the port and positioning the former whaling capital to be a leader in the emerging offshore wind industry. New Bedford has a gold mine in its fishing port, arguably the most valuable one in the U.S. But businesses in the seafood industry fear a negative effect from the growth of wind power. I'm Ian Donis. This week, I'm going in-depth with New Bedford's top elected official. New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell, welcome back to the Publix Radio.
It's great to be back. It's been a while, and it's great to see you.
We're happy to have you. There are fewer than 8 months until the next November election in New Bedford. You haven't said whether you're going to seek another term after first winning elections since 2011. What are your plans?
Yeah, I noticed the calendar. It's coming up pretty fast, and although I've made announcements in election cycles past in the summertime, it's obviously something I've been thinking about. The job is very gratifying, and I don't foresee my making an announcement any earlier than in times past. But I do think that, but I am giving it some thought and talking to my family and friends about it. And as I look at one of the things I consider is whether I've accomplished the things I set out to do, and whether there are still things in the pipeline that I want to tackle. And I think the answer to the first question is largely yes. I mean, we've had a strong run over the last several years, and that we've been able to bring successful reform to the school district, where we've had one of the largest jumps in graduation rates in the United States. We've had a very significant drop in crime. New Bedford's a considerably safer city than it used to be.
Sounds like you're running for re-election.
Well, either that or I'm doing a post-mortem, one or the other. I'm leaving it very ambiguous, Ian, but I haven't made up my mind yet, but I will relatively soon.
If you were to go in a different direction, what would that be?
I mean, what do I want to do when I grow up? There are a number of other things I could be doing. I have, and as you know, before I was mayor, I was a federal prosecutor, and I won't be going back to that. But I've done a career pivot in the past, and so, look, I've always felt strongly that whatever I do, I'd like to be serving in some capacity, and in that capacity, be generally useful. I really want to have an impact. That's what gets me up in the morning as mayor.
So there's speculation periodically about you winding up in the Biden or Healey administration. Is that a possibility?
Well, I just had a long conversation with Governor Healey.
She was in New Bedford Thursday.
I have a great relationship with her, but I'm definitely not looking for any job in her administration. And the same goes with Washington. I haven't pursued that. So it's, to my mind, I'm just going to take things as they come. We've got a lot on our plate right now, and so the political decisions can wait for their time.
One of the things on your plate is the emergence of wind power as a potentially big sector in the New Bedford area. This offers economic promise, but there's a lot of concern in the fishing industry about this. Is this going to hurt the fishing industry?
Yeah, I don't think so. We're committed to the proposition that the two industries can coexist successfully. And those two industries are going to intersect in the United States more than anywhere else in New Bedford. We're the largest commercial fishing port in the United States, as you know, and hands down the center of commercial fishing on the East Coast. But we also aspire to be number one in offshore wind, and we put a considerable amount of effort for us to get to that point now through infrastructure investment and the development of workforce programs and so many other lines of effort. And so what I've told folks in the fishing industry that I've got your back, but I also want everybody to know that it's good for New Bedford that the offshore wind industry is setting up shop in our older industrial city. Like, we don't have opportunities to attract large amounts of capital to our city as we do with the offshore wind industry. And we've seen it play out in Europe a number of times. So what we're trying to do is to get everybody to understand New Bedford's needs, which is to succeed in both of those industries. And insofar as the two industries conflict, we'll work to work out those conflicts.
I know some people who work in the calamari industry here in Rhode Island, which is a big product in Rhode Island.
Right.
If the concerns of the seafood industry are realized, and if wind power does have an adverse effect, what is the backup plan? What can be done to make people in those businesses whole if the worst case comes to fruition?
Yeah, I'm not so sure I embrace the condition of your hypothetical, right? The key for the two industries to succeed together is side by side, proverbially speaking, is to ensure that wind farms are not placed in the wrong areas. On areas, by that I mean areas where there is a large amount of historic fishing going on, and in areas where there are sensitive fish habitats. We don't want to be putting offshore wind farms in places where fish spawn, because we won't have a next generation of fish. That's where the key is, and that's the key to it all.
But is there a backup plan if the seafood industry is right to be concerned about the impact of wind power? Is there money available that would offset losses?
Yeah, so there will be some level of conflict, and I've been a big proponent of ensuring that there are mitigation programs in place to offset those losses. You know, we will see some displacement of fishing, although a fairly minor amount in places like the Mass, Rhode Island wind energy areas, which, you know, as areas of the outer continental shelf go, is not that heavily fished. I know there are folks in Rhode Island who fish in particular for squid and for fluke, and particularly out of Point Judith. They're probably a little more affected than folks in New Bedford, just generally speaking. But and that's why you have to have mitigation programs in place. They're not perfect, but again, in the long run, what the most important thing to do is not to put wind farms in the wrong place.
We're talking here with New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell, and another initiative that you've been pursuing is the redevelopment of the State Pier. This is a key piece of real estate in New Bedford. At the same time, some South Coast lawmakers have been unhappy with the decision-making process around this. They say it's been too secretive, and they've called for a state review of this. To your knowledge, is any kind of state review taking place?
Well, I don't think it's necessary, but I think the New Bedford state legislators should be read into the process. I understand why they weren't. This is a procurement for a real estate development, and ordinarily legislators don't play a part in a procurement of a piece of real estate, nor I don't think the public would want that. The city plays a role in it because the city has done all the planning around it, including the traffic mitigation, including other maritime uses. You know, we'll be delivering the utilities to that site. The bottom line is it is a great project. It is a project that will serve not only New Bedford's retail needs on the waterfront. We want people to be dining and shopping by the water in New Bedford, but we also, as a primarily industrial port, want to have that facility contribute to the maritime economy as well. And this is going to do both. It'll be shops and restaurants in the front of the pier so that people can have that experience, but most of the pier will be dedicated to things like ferry service, a fish offloading site, a fish auction, offshore wind, and other traditional maritime industrial uses.
You've called for years for NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, to open an office in New Bedford. They announced this week they're opening an office in Newport, Rhode Island.
Right.
Why did they side with Newport over New Bedford?
Well, I think that's probably a question that's better put to folks in the federal government. I mean, we looked at that and certainly caught my eye. Look, I mean, New Bedford, NOAA should, in the Northeast, should be centered in New Bedford. We are hands down the largest fishing port on the East Coast, the largest in the country. Just to give you a sense of it, and I hope my friends in Rhode Island don't cringe at this, but the landings in New Bedford are three times that of the entire state of Rhode Island.
Given so that, why would NOAA choose Newport over New Bedford?
Well, you'll have to ask NOAA that, or ask the congressional delegation that. Kudos to Senator Reid, who's a very effective senator, and I think that may be that may be the long and short of it. So Rhode Island is well represented by Jack Reid.
Back in New Bedford, the city council has a non-binding referendum that would cut your term from 4 years to 2 years. Why is the city council trying to do that?
Because they don't like me. That's the way city councils and mayors operate, right? Not just New Bedford, but everywhere, Ian, right? But look, there's nobody clamoring for that. We are, if you look at what we have now at long last in New Bedford, is really the standard arrangement and a strong mayor government, a city of over 100,000, a city that's a center city and not a satellite of a major metro. 4-year terms are the standard. Think about it around the country. There may be two or three cities that are similarly situated that still have two-year terms. Everybody else around the country has gone to 4 years.
But this seems to go well beyond the typical tension between a mayor and a city council. It seems like relations are really chilly. I'm not even sure if you and the city council are on speaking terms. Why are things so bad between you and the council?
Well, I can speak for myself. We are on speaking terms. And look, I think you have... on every city council in America, you've got some city councilors that want to be mayor, and so sometimes you see efforts like this to undermine the mayor, but at the end of the day, what we're all speaking to are the needs of the city, and I think the folks understand that there ought to be a 4-year term for a chief executive that runs an enterprise of some 3,500 employees and a $500 million budget, right? It's bigger than a lemonade stand, and you need not just 2 years, but 4 years to prove yourself, right, incrementally. The other thing I'll just say is that, look, it's been a while since the media was paying attention to the New Bedford City Council, and now that the spotlight is on them, that there's the public's starting to see that the council that hasn't always operated in the public's interest. And so hopefully, and it's not to say that every last councilor has gone awry, it's gone off the rails, but you know, we do have some councilors who are pushing really hard to position themselves for a run for the corner office.
Speaking of the media, it used to be the Standard Times was more robustly staffed. That is owned by Gannett, and Gannett's made a lot of cuts over the years. But on the other hand, my colleague Ben Burke from the Publix Radio covers New Bedford actively. There's the New Bedford Light, a nonprofit that covers New Bedford actively. How would you say the current media landscape in New Bedford now compares to the old days?
Well, if the old days mean circa 2018, better, right? And it's something that I've tried to cultivate. We've tried to cultivate a bigger presence from you guys, right? So we've had those discussions. We've invited the scrutiny. Same thing with the New Bedford Light. They now have 5 reporters and are doing long form journalism, not day to day coverage, but more longer form journalism. And the Providence New Bedford TV stations are also covering New Bedford more, which is a good thing, right? It just, my strong feeling is that, look, as much as I prefer, like anybody else, not to absorb the slings and arrows of media criticism, the reality is, as a resident of the city, someone who cares deeply about my city, I know that it can't function well without robust media coverage, without the media essentially officiating civic discourse. And so, like, no city can survive that way. And I've been very vocal about that position.
You get an amen from me on that. We've got to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us, the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
FILO is a dirty word in Rhode Island. The acronym stands for First In, Last Out. And it reflects how the Ocean State has for decades been the economic sick man of New England, moving into economic downturns earlier and recovering later than the rest of the region. With 2 out-of-state bank failures causing concern about wider economic fallout, can Rhode Island shed its longtime association with FILO? For more insights on Rhode Island politics, check out my Friday TGIF column, posting around 4 today on my Twitter, at Ian Don, or at thepublicsradio.org. That's our show for this week. Our producer is James Baumgartner. I'm Ian Donis, and I'll see you on the radio.